Imagine these tiny invisible forces, pulling things together, pushing them apart, making compass needles spin, maybe even helping huge trains float. It sounds like science fiction, but what unseen power is actually at play here? That's what we're diving into today, the kind of hidden world of magnets. Our mission, really, is to give you a shortcut to understanding this fundamental force. We'll recap the core properties, how they work, and some surprising uses, all drawn from our source material.
And it's a great topic because, well, magnetism is surprisingly common, isn't it? It's all around us in daily life, but we often don't, you know, stop to think about it. From simple fridge magnets to really complex industrial machines, understanding magnets is actually key to grasping a lot of modern technology. So yeah, our goal is a thorough but concise overview. Hit the highlights.
Okay, let's start unpacking it then. The sources make it really clear right away.
Yeah.
Not all materials actually interact with magnets. That seems like the first big hurdle, right? Making that distinction between magnetic and non-magnetic materials. So what's the difference?
Well, it really just comes down to how strongly a substance is drawn towards a magnet. Your magnetic materials are the ones that show a strong pull. Think iron, steel, nickel, cobalt. Those are the main ones.
Right.
But then you have non-magnetic materials and they just, well, they don't respond. At all. Things like wood, aluminum, copper, rubber, stone, sand.
And that hits on a really common misconception, doesn't it? The idea that all metals must be magnetic.
Exactly. That's a big one. But nope, only certain metals like the iron, nickel, and cobalt we mentioned are magnetic. Things like aluminum and copper, definitely not magnetic.
You can even try this at home, right? Like an attraction test, just see what sticks to a magnet.
Absolutely. It's a very simple, hands-on way to see for yourself which materials are magnetic and which aren't. Great way to classify them.
So where did this all start? The story of magnets. There's that legend, isn't there? The Magnus the Shepherd.
Ah, yes. The Magnus legend from ancient Greece. The story goes his staff, which had an iron tip, got stuck to this big black rock.
Which turned out to be?
A natural magnet. What we call lodestone, which is basically magnetite. But the earliest documented use for navigation, that actually comes from ancient China, maybe around the 11th century, using lodestone for direction finding.
Okay, so that brings up a key difference.
Yeah.
Natural versus artificial magnets.
Precisely. Natural magnets, like lodestone, are just found in nature, unaltered. They tend to be weaker in strength. Artificial magnets, on the other hand, are human-made. We design them. They can be much, much stronger, and we can customize their shape and strength for all sorts of specific jobs.
And what materials do we typically use to make these artificial ones?
Usually it's back to those key players, iron, cobalt, and nickel, or alloys containing them, because they have those really good magnetic properties.
Got it. And they come in different shapes too, right? I've seen bar magnets, U-shaped ones.
Oh yeah, quite a variety. You've got the classic rectangular bar magnet, cylindrical ones often used in motors. The U-shaped or horseshoe magnet is interesting because that shape helps concentrate the magnetic force between the poles.
Ah, okay. Makes it good for lifting things.
Exactly, yeah, for lifting heavier objects. And you even see dumbbell-shaped magnets sometimes, often for demonstrations in science classes.
So summing up the key differences then, natural magnets are weaker, found in nature, limited use. Artificial are human-made, strong, customizable, durable, and used everywhere.
That's a perfect summary. It's a huge leap in terms of practical application.
All right, now let's get into the really cool part, those invisible forces. Attraction, repulsion. You mentioned magnets have poles.
Yes. Every magnet has magnetic poles, usually at its ends. And this is crucial. The magnetic force is strongest at these poles. It's where all the action happens, so to speak.
And how do we know which pole is which?
Well, if you let a magnet hang freely, like on a string, one end will naturally swing around to point towards the Earth's geographic north. Now, here's the slightly confusing part. That end is actually the magnet's south pole, magnetically speaking.
Oh, interesting. Because opposites attract.
Exactly. The Earth's north magnetic pole attracts the magnet's south pole. And conversely, the end pointing geographically south is the magnet's north pole. And here's something really fascinating, almost like a law of nature for magnets. The unbreakable pairing of poles. If you take a magnet and break it in half.
You get a separate north and a separate south.
Nope. That's what you might think. But actually, each broken piece instantly becomes a new complete magnet with its own north and south pole. You simply cannot isolate a north pole or a south pole on its own. They always come in pairs.
Wow. Okay. So no magnetic monopoles, as they say. That's fundamental. And this leads right into how magnets interact, right?
Right.
Attraction and repulsion.
It does. The rule is simple but powerful. Like, poles repel, opposite poles attract.
So north repels north, south repels south.
Correct. They push each other away.
Right.
But bring a north pole near a south pole, and they'll pull towards each other. They attract.
Which busts another myth. The idea that magnets only attract things.
Absolutely. That's a common misconception. Magnets can definitely repel each other, very strongly, in fact, if you bring those, like, poles close together.
You can feel it, can't you, if you try to push two north poles together?
Oh, definitely. It's a very tangible force. Again, something easy to experiment with. Just take two magnets and play around with the ends. You'll quickly see attraction and repulsion in action.
Okay, so from these basic rules, let's jump to a huge practical application. Navigation. This goes way back, you said.
Thousands of years, yeah. Sailors, explorers, they relied on the magnetic properties of lodestone and later compasses to find their way.
So the compass, how does that work exactly?
It's elegantly simple, really. Usually you have a small magnetic needle that's balanced so it can rotate freely. Underneath it, or around it, there's a dial marked with directions north, south, east, west. The key is that the magnetic needle aligns itself with the Earth's own magnetic field. It wants to point north-south.
Because the Earth itself is like a giant magnet.
Precisely. Our planet generates its own magnetic field extending way out into space. Mm-hmm. It has its own magnetic north and south poles. It's this field that the compass needle interacts with. And it's not just humans using it. Think about homing pigeons, sea turtles. Some animals have an incredible ability to sense the Earth's magnetic field and use it for navigation during really long migrations. It's amazing.
That is amazing. And the advantages of using a magnetic compass for us humans?
Well, they work pretty much anywhere on Earth as long as there's a magnetic field, so global use. Mm. They're generally very durable, you know, don't need batteries or complex electronics, and they give you a pretty accurate sense of direction.
But there's a catch, isn't there, about where it points?
Yeah.
It's not exactly the North Pole.
That's a crucial point, yes. A compass points to the magnetic North Pole, not the geographic North Pole, the point around which the Earth spins.
And those two points aren't the same.
No, they're actually hundreds of miles apart. And adding to the complexity, the magnetic North Pole isn't fixed. It actually wanders over time.
Huh. So navigators have to account for that difference.
They do. It's called magnetic declination. Also, compasses can be unreliable near the actual magnetic poles where the field lines point almost straight down. And they can also be affected by local magnetic anomalies like large iron ore deposits nearby or even strong electrical currents which can throw off the reading a bit.
Right. Okay. So powerful, but with nuances.
Indeed. And again, you can see the basic principle yourself. There's a simple activity where you magnetize a sewing needle, float it on water using cork or something similar, and watch it align itself north-south. A basic compass.
Cool. So beyond navigation, where else do these invisible forces pop up in our everyday lives? How does this all connect to the modern world?
Oh, everywhere, once you start looking. One basic idea is magnetization. That's the process of actually making something magnetic that wasn't before. The source mentions the single-touch method, for example. You basically stroke a piece of iron or steel repeatedly with one pole of a strong magnet, always in the same direction.
And that does what? Lines things up inside.
Exactly. It aligns the tiny magnetic domains, like microscopic magnets, within the metal, so they all point the same way, creating a net magnetic field. You've turned it into a magnet.
Okay, so we can make magnets, and then we use them. Well, obviously on the fridge door, right?
Yeah, that's the classic example. Those flexible magnets often use magnetism for a tight seal. But think about ATM cards, credit cards that magnetic stripe holds your information.
Ah, right. Never thought of that as a magnet.
Yep. And speakers, headphones, microphones, they all use magnets interacting with electric currents to create sound or capture it. Electric motors are everywhere. Fans, washing machines, power tools, they rely on magnetism. Even huge electromagnets in junkyards lift heavy scrap iron.
It really is pervasive.
Absolutely. And if we zoom out even further, think about medical technology. MRI scans magnetic resonance imaging using incredibly strong magnetic fields to create detailed pictures inside the human body. It's revolutionary for diagnosis.
Wow. And you mentioned the Earth's magnetic field earlier. It does more than just point compasses north.
Oh, vastly more. It acts like a giant invisible shield protecting the entire planet. It deflects most of the harmful charged particles constantly streaming from the sun, the solar wind.
A shield. So it protects our atmosphere, life itself.
Fundamentally, yes. Without it, the solar wind could strip away our atmosphere over time. It's a crucial protective barrier. And the beautiful result of this interaction, when some particles do get through near the poles, are the auroras, the northern and southern lights. You're literally seeing the magnetic field at work.
That's incredible, seeing the Earth's shield light up. Okay, another common idea. Do magnets just wear out over time, lose their strength?
That's mostly a myth for what we call permanent magnets, like your fridge magnet. Under normal conditions, they keep their magnetism pretty much indefinitely. Now, you can weaken or demagnetize them with extreme heat, or by exposing them to a strong opposing magnetic field, or even sometimes by dropping them repeatedly. But just sitting there, they're quite stable.
Good to know my souvenir collection is safe. And all this attraction, repulsion, shielding, it's happening within these invisible magnetic fields.
Exactly. Every magnet is surrounded by an invisible region of influence called a magnetic field. That's where the force acts. And you can actually get a sense of what it looks like.
How?
With iron filings. If you sprinkle fine iron filings on a piece of paper placed over a magnet, the filings will line up along the magnetic field lines. They trace out the pattern of the force.
I've seen pictures of that. They cluster at the poles, right?
They do, showing where the field is strongest, and then they loop around from one pole to the other. It's a great way to visualize the invisible.
Okay, so let's try and wrap this up. We've covered a lot in this deep dive. We looked at how materials behave with magnets, magnetic versus non-magnetic.
Right, and the fundamental rules of poles always in pairs, like repels, opposites attract. Can't forget that.
We touched on the history, from lodestones to compasses, and how crucial magnets are for navigation, even for animals.
And then broadened out to see how they're just embedded in so much modern tech cards, speakers, motors, medicine.
And even protecting the planet with that magnetic shield and giving us the auroras. It's quite a range.
It really is. And the core idea that magnetism comes from moving electric charges deep down inside atoms. It makes it one of the fundamental forces shaping everything around us. Truly an invisible yet incredibly powerful force.
So here's a final thought to leave you with. We know animals navigate using Earth's magnetic field, and our technology deeply relies on it. Thinking about that, how might a deeper understanding of these invisible magnetic forces unlock future innovations, maybe in navigation or energy or communication in ways we haven't even imagined yet? What other unseen powers might just be waiting for us to figure out?